Hi, I'm Bradley Everson Long, reporting from Greece. Today I have two sound bites for you. The first one comes from a hillside. In case you couldn't quite tell, those were bells attached to the throats of goats on a hillside in Delphi in central Greece. The second soundbite comes from a city street. That amplified speech took place in Athens on May Day. May Day! Earlier this month. I haven't translated the speech, but the large banners, some showing hammers and sickles, made their message pretty clear. Today I want to talk about these two sounds, and about the duality of Greece. I think everyone comes to Greece with a hope of what they want to see, be it friends, old stuff, white beaches, or old men selling tasty wine. A lot of visitors want some kind of traditional Greece. The National Tourism Office does too, which is why they've adopted the slogan, "Live your myth in Greece." The beauty of myths is that despite their extravagant excesses, they have some root of truth. If you go to Greece, you can still hear the goats being herded as they have been for centuries, though now they have to deal with passing highway traffic. But almost by definition, life doesn't live up to myths. I climbed Mount Olympus and saw no gods. There's not an oracle at Delphi, at least not now. International Museum Day is coming up on May 18th, but Greece is not a museum. There are still people living here, and a bunch of them gathered in Athens on Monday to rally the workers. The city of Athens captures this duality quite well. It's home to the Acropolis, but also about half of Greece's living population. My family recently spent two nights in Athens, and our two dinner excursions reflected the duality and the myth-making of Greece. The first night, we were walking by our hotel, and a Greek man overheard us mispronouncing its name. He said he'd lived in the States for a few years and recommended a place for us to dine in the Plaka. He departed as we sat down. I picked up the menu and saw that the restaurant itself was called the Plaka, which concerned me. My suspicions proved apt, as we spent the dinner surrounded by pesky waiters, substandard food, and bumbling tourists. My family bumbled a bit, but I think I'm slightly adjusted to the country. As you can imagine, I was pretty disappointed by our first night in Athens. The man we'd met on the street conned us into a bad meal. The second dinner was a different story. We wandered around the Plaka, aided by a Lonely Planet travel guide. We stumbled upon a small taverna that was noisy, but not anxious. They brought out their entire spread of food, all of which looked delicious. Sure, there were noisy Americans present, but they were in another room. Fueled by a good house wine, my family had a content and cheery conversation that lasted hours. This is how a dinner in Greece is supposed to be, my myth tells me. Yet, if we'd had a third dinner in Athens, we would have had a third unique experience. There are more than two sides of Greece, more than just the ancient and the modern, the myth and the mundane. Life is complex, but not always, which is what I adore. I love those moments that, through my own bias, seem 100% Greek, like the hillside goats, or conversely, the squawking demonstrators. I can guarantee that the Greek phrase of the week is also 100% Greek. It is,
Lipon, tembodia pou parousiastikon aptoneo mou perivalon inimerostin zoi.
That means, well, the hurdles presented in my new environment are part of life. For more information about my podcast, I encourage you to go to my podcast blog, which is located at reportingfromgreece.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.